Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hi, I'm Lady Carolyn. Hello, I'm Lady Carolyn. I want to thank you for joining us. Tonight our topic is stop fretting and trust in the Lord. He got this. But before we get started, I'm going to have some prayer. I'm flying solo tonight. So if you'll pray with me. Lord God, my Heavenly Father, who has made all things by the word of your power, I, your unworthy creature, give you praise, honor, and glory, Lord. Though the immensity of your creation overwhelms me, God, you have assured me of your infinite and continuing love and your mysterious mercy, God. You have seen fit to give your only Son unto death for my sins, that I, believing in him, might become your adopted child and the heir of eternal life. Right now, God, I just want to thank you for allowing us to have this day right here and to be able to have a message, God. We ask right now that as we struggle with our petty problems and troubled by the worries in our past, in this world that we live in today, God, that you will protect us and keep and allow us to believe and trust in you so that we will not fret about anything, God. And we just want to thank you right now. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. And again, our topic is stop fretting and trust in the Lord. He got this. Today's discussion, it's going to be about looking within ourselves to find the answers to what is keeping us from operating in love. Many times we want to look at the other person's behavior and judge and criticize them for how they are acting, but we don't examine our own actions that sometimes cause others to react. And we can never make a person do anything, yet the word does talk about not leading others to wrath, and wrath is one of the deadly sins that we continue to solicit in our relations with others. And tonight we're going to be looking at the word fret. I'm going to come out of Psalms 37, 1 through 8. And 1 through 8 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Amen. Now, I was thinking about this topic because in a lot of times in relationships, pain is so much anger. And that anger is that vicious cycle, and it's one of those deadly sins that we have to be careful about evoking it or even accepting it in others. And Psalms 37:1-8, it talks about, it uses the word fret not, the phrase fret not, three times. And we usually look at the word fret as being anxious, but it also means to rub, agitate violently, disturb, tease, make angry, etc. But some of the answers for a fretful life, they found right there in that Psalm 37. You know, it tells us things like trust in, delight in, commit unto, rest in, cease from anger, avoid wrath, forsake wrath. So resting in the Lord is definitely different from resting on the Lord. You know, you may be resting in the Lord for your soul's salvation, but the question is, are you resting on the Lord for your life living, the way that you live? So we're going to talk about some solutions for not fretting. And we're going to come out of some scriptures. We actually got four different solutions that we can look at and put them all together and help us to be able to live a more simple life, staying away from fretting. The first one is committing ourselves to the Lord, and that'll take the fretting out of life if we just commit ourselves to the Lord. And we're going to come out of 1 Peter 4:9 in the King James Version, and 4:19, I'm sorry. 4:19 says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. And whenever we can commit to the will of God, no matter what we're going through or no matter what's happening around us, who's doing what, if we stand on God's commandment, then we have a chance of having our soul saved, because we got to realize that when we, if and God hope that we go to heaven, God is not going to ask us, what did they do to you? What happened that made you act like you were acting, boo? He's not going to have that conversation with us. We are accountable to committing to what it is that God is telling us to do in his laws. So also in Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And the word established is to show, to be valid or true, prove, to bring about permanently. And it also means to enact, appoint, or ordain for permanent as a law and fix unalterably, like you can't alter it. So once we commit our works unto the Lord, and our thoughts can't be changed. It won't be changed because God's word is not going to change. So if we're sticking with God's word, then we got a better chance of not acting and reacting and causing ourselves that harm that we can cause ourselves and cause others because of the way we think. We be reminded that the battlefield is always in the mind. We sit up and we think things about ourselves. We think things about other people. And this causes some action in us. But if we're thinking about the goodness of the Lord and how God is blessing us and his grace and mercy is so sufficient, how in the world can we be angry? How can we be upset? How can we be sad? How can we be afraid? So when we talk about committing ourselves to God's word, that can help us to stop fretting, stop causing trouble. Thing we want to do is make sure that we're communicating with the Lord, and that can help take the fretting out of our life, because it's hard to fret. It's real hard to fret when you got a real good prayer life. And you communicate with God on a regular basis, I tell you, you cannot be worried. You won't be mad. You won't be upset. You won't be hating. You'll be living and enjoying your life and rejoicing and be glad in every day. Psalms 34:1-6 is a psalm of David. Talks about when David changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away. And you can think about this situation, like when a mate leaves. You know, people walk out and you wonder why and if they're coming back or what is it that you can do. But this psalm right here, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. And if we just look at verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. The word didn't say that he delivered me from some of my fears. It said he delivered me from all of them. I don't have to be afraid of anything. I don't have to worry about nothing that's going to happen, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. I don't have to go up in my head and get all discombobulated about anything that's going on, because once I see God and I allow him to be in my life and be the head over me, I ain't got to worry about it. I don't have to worry about anything. And in verse 6 it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles, saved him out of all his troubles. Not some of his troubles, all of them. And that is truly a blessing. You know, whenever you feel like you're fretting about anything, go down on your knees and pray. Seek God. Get with him right away without a doubt, knowing your heart and in your soul that God got this. He going to fix this. You don't have to fret over anything. He said be anxious for nothing, not anxious for a few things or anxious because your husband ain't there or your wife is not there or your child is not at home right now or the rent is due. He said be anxious for nothing. If we go on our knees and we pray, we need to trust and believe that the things that we are praying for and the one that we're praying to is real and can help us. We got to have some trust in our faith. We got to have some trust. The third one is concentrating, God, so that we won't have to fret. And we'll come out of Philippians 4:5-9, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do shall be with you. That's powerful. That is so powerful. Because when you just think about, God is telling us that we should not be concentrating on things that make us sad or make us angry, things that are not good, not pure. You know, those bad reports, you know, be real careful of people that try to come to you with reports of evil, malicious gossip, things that make your spirit just feel real bad because, you know, everybody know that the person that's bringing the bone is usually the person that really don't like you. That's the person that wants you to feel some type of way. And you have to be real careful about the things that you allow in your spirit. Because the only thing that the enemy wants is to get in. That's all he wants. If he can get in, he got you. And he doesn't care if he bring it through disguised as a friend. He just wants to get in. We need to think on those things that are of a good report. We need to think about the things that are honest and true, things that are real and good and pure for us, things that make you feel good inside your spirit. God doesn't want you walking around angry, depressed, ashamed, disappointed, worried, suffering. In 2 Peter 1:1-4, Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. And it says that through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. And virtue is a behavior showing high moral standards. You know, God called us to be better. He called us to act better. He has given us everything that we need through the fruits of the Spirit to be people that can be godly people, holy people, saintly people. He has given us that. And it also says having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And a lot of people want to look at lust as only that sexual desire, but lust being another one of those deadly, you know, lust is also talking about any strong desire, strong drive, you know, the craving, the appetite that we have for ungodly things, you know, striving towards stuff that does not have anything to do with the purpose that God has over our lives. Some people, it can be money, it could be gambling, and of course it can be sex, it can be food addiction, you know, it could be control, it could be that wrath, you know, it could be greed, it could be anything that you are inclined to seek regularly. That has nothing to do with God. You're talking about operating in love. And you know that the seven deadly sins, most of our behavior can fit somewhere in the category of those seven deadly sins. And we have to be real careful that we understand what it is that we're doing to ourselves when we're operating against God. 2 Corinthians 1:20-21. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us, now he which established in us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. And it's always God, always God. And we're going to 4, cooperating with the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if we could just understand cooperating with the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will lead you in the right direction if you paying attention, if you had that obedience, if you cooperate, because there's always another that you can be listening to that will lead you to evil, will lead you away from God, will lead you down the path of unrighteousness, if you're not cooperating with the Holy Spirit. One of the verses, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you know in Matthew 7:20, it talks about wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. And in Galatians 5:22-23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. There is no law. And it's very important that we get an understanding. You know, the first one of the fruits of spirit that they listed in the Word of God is love. And that's what we're trying to learn how to do, learn how to operate in love, learn how to be conscious of some of the decisions that you're making in your life that affect you and other people, things that have nothing to do with what it is that God has purposed for you in your life. God does not want us to be pitted against each other. He does not want us to be harmful and hurtful to each other. He don't want us to lose patience with one another. He don't want us to lose tolerance with one another. And we was talking about long-suffering a few days ago, my husband and I, and we were talking about how, you know, everybody understands the word suffering, but the word long is in front of it. He said long suffering means that you don't know how much time is going to be allotted for you to go through whatever it is that you have to go through. You don't know that time, but you got to be able to withstand whatever it is that God is doing for you in your life so that you can see what it is that he's bringing you to the end of. When God brings you to the other side of the journey that you're on, even though it does not feel good, and sometimes it feels like it's a hopeless situation, sometimes it makes you so angry, so frustrated, that's when you really got to be reminded that God said be anxious for nothing. You got to get on your knees and you got to pray and thank God for everything that he's doing for you in your life, because everything that I've been going through in my life, now that I can look back and see that the struggle was made even harder because of my own disobedience, blamed other people for things that I was going through instead of looking to God and asking God and talking to him and praising his name through. And it's very important that we praise our way through anything and everything that we're going through, because God got this. God got it. We can't see exactly what it is and why it is, but God got it. And I found out on my journey that usually the things that I'm going through are helping me to be able to have the strength to be a testimony to someone else, because there's somebody somewhere that's gonna go through what I've been through and gonna feel the same way that I was feeling when I was going through it. But I can say, hey, hold on, it's gonna get better, gonna get better. And we got to believe that, especially in our marriages today, we have got to believe that marriages are gonna get better. And one of the things that I just want to say, too, even if you get divorced, and we pray that you don't, but even if you do, divorce is not the end of life. It is not the end. My husband and I both are on our second marriage, and we do realize, and I know that for me, I can only speak for me, my first marriage was not of God. It was something that I wanted to do in my life, to get out of my parents' home, actually. But it was not ordained by God. So what God did not put together, it can be put asunder. So, you know, and I'm grateful today that I realized that that was not the one. My first husband was not the one. And even though I was upset, disappointed, ashamed, even experienced some guilt behind the things that we went through in my first marriage, I understand today that all of that had to be removed, because God wants you to clear the path so that the real person can get there, because he can't get there if the path is not clear. And when God cleared that path, because no matter who I was with or whoever came after my first marriage, it never worked out. It never worked out. And even though my husband and I almost destroyed this marriage, but for the grace and mercy of God, you know, we are soulmates. We are the ones that are supposed to be together, and I truly believe that and thank God for that. But I just want to say, hold on. Reach your head up to the sky. Know that God got this. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter if you're married to an alcoholic, if you're an alcoholic, if one is on drugs, if you have outside children, if he has another woman, if you got another man, no matter what it is that's going on, God got this. God is going to fix it. He is going to fix it. And one of my favorite scriptures is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I pray to God just like that. I tell him exactly what it is that I want. And I ask him that if it's in his will, that he will allow me to have it. So I know that when he's not saying yeah, and amen, then it's not meant to be. And that he has something better for me, greater. And I look forward to those things, too, because I know that God knows better for me than I do. He knows. And I just don't have a clue. I'm still experimenting. So keep your head up and remember that no matter what the problem is, no matter what the situation is or the circumstance, the lesson is always love, and that we operate in love, that we find out what love is and we find out what love is not, that we don't entertain those ungodly spirits, that we don't lead each other to wrath. If you have someone in your life that doesn't want to talk and is pushing you away, give them their 50 feet. Let them have that little bit, you know. When me and my husband go through anything now, we call it our magic moment. Let them have their magic moment, because you don't know what God is doing with that person. You have no clue what God is doing. So just like we have our own experiences, everybody does. Everybody has their own experience. So allow other people to have theirs. Just make sure that you're doing what it is that you're supposed to do, that God is telling you to do, that you're communicating with God, that you're committed to His Word, that you're establishing yourself and studying and show yourself approved, that you know who God is, and that you believe in God, and not only believe Him, but to trust and rely on God to teach you and help you to be able to operate in love on a regular basis, because it is very important for your soul's salvation that you are accountable for what you do. So again, I'd like to thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening, and I hope that you will listen again. And just remember, like I said, no matter what's going on, it doesn't really matter. Whether it's a situation that you feel like you can't handle, a circumstance that you're tired of, or a problem that you think is too big, God got this, and the lesson is always love. Wow.